Paul Harris filling in for Dave Ross. Thanks for listening. And News Talk 97.3, Cairo FM. Ever since Amazon came out with the Kindle, there's been more and more talk in the tech community about what's next for tablet computers. Not just e-readers, but tablet computers. Now with the Consumer Electronics Show getting underway this week in Las Vegas, we hear that Microsoft may have an announcement when Steve Ballmer gives a pre-keynote address tonight. And we know that Apple is rumored to be making some sort of similar announcement in a couple of months. Todd Bishop is covering all of this from Las Vegas, where he's at the Consumer Electronics Show, from TechFlash.com. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Paul.
Tell me about tablet computers in the year 2010. This is going to be the big battle zone in tech, isn't it?
It's sure shaping up that way. And, of course, this is a market that we've been following since, you know, the early part of last decade. And back then, it just really was not of a level that could really penetrate into the broad consumer market. But what we're seeing now is companies, combining things like e-readers and new flexible screens and wireless access and really trying to make something in between a smartphone and a notebook computer.
Okay, so it will be able to connect to the Internet. Tell me what a tablet will be able to do and how much further it goes than what Amazon already has in the Kindle.
Well, here's the interesting part, because right now we're essentially commenting on speculation. Microsoft tonight is expected by some to announce a new tablet computer in conjunction with HP, as you mentioned. Apple is coming out with its computer later in the month, according to the speculation. So we're talking about things that we don't really have a detailed grasp on. And the devil here really is going to be in the detail, because it's going to be contingent upon whether or not consumers are going to really want to have something that's between that smartphone and that portable computer. But the idea would be you'd sit on the couch with your tablet slate-style computer, or you'd take it around with you, and you'd be able to touch the screen. It'd be very touch-sensitive and just generally something that would be very portable, flexible, lightweight, power-efficient, and useful in someone's life.
Okay, so as more than an e-reader, it's going to have Internet access, which will not only allow you to download things, but are you going to be able to use it as a replacement for your laptop? I mean, will it have that kind of functionality built into it?
Well, it certainly will have that kind of power and capability, but the big issue here is the keyboard. And without a hard keyboard on these devices, it becomes very hard to use them as your general-purpose notebook. That's actually the problem that Microsoft ran into back in the early part of last decade when they came out with a series of slate-style computers as tablet PCs using digital ink technology. It really didn't work, and the reason it didn't work was because people needed a keyboard. And so what ended up happening to that market was it turned into what's known as a convertible market, where you could twist and flip the computer around and convert it from a slate to more of a traditional notebook computer on the fly.
Is Ballmer's announcement tonight, whatever it turns out to be, we kind of think we know what it's going to be, but is Microsoft effectively trying to get in here and preempt Apple, or is Apple, when it comes out with whatever they announce in March, just going to probably be another category killer like they did with the iPod and the iPhone?
Well, Microsoft, my sense of the situation is that, yes, Microsoft is trying to step in and preempt Apple here. Clearly, Apple has a ton of buzz, and the risk for Microsoft's business is that, yes, as you said, Apple could come out with the category killer, something along the lines of the iPhone that doesn't pioneer the category. In other words, it's not first, but it pioneers the category in a way that it becomes the de facto standard and the device that everyone else tries to live up to. That's the risk here in the tablet market. And it'd be particularly embarrassing for Microsoft, because this is Bill Gates' pet project, tablet PCs, going back, as I said, to the early part of last decade. So if Steve Jobs then comes along and trumps Microsoft in that market, it would be not only a risk to Microsoft's business, but a very embarrassing situation for the company.
Microsoft has certainly maintained its lead in software, but has Microsoft ever been successful with hardware?
You know, yes. It's not the rule, but one exception is the Xbox 360. The second generation of Microsoft's video game console is clearly holding its own against Sony, the PlayStation 3, and the Nintendo Wii. An example of Microsoft doing well in hardware. With one caveat, they had a huge write-off a couple years ago because of all of the glitches they've had in hardware. That said, the overall platform has done relatively well. On the other hand, their Zune music device has been, you know, not successful at all in terms of market share, even though the latest version of it is interesting to look at, the Zune HD.
This is News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Paul Harris talking with Todd Bishop from TechFlash.com. He's in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show. Google kind of jumped the gun this week with the announcement of their Nexus One. This is the phone that they think is going to compete with the iPhone. Have you seen it? And even if you haven't, what are the differences?
Yeah, well, you know, I have not seen the Nexus One in person, but I actually am right now testing a Motorola Droid to write a review on TechFlash. And I'm a longtime iPhone user, and I have to say, the Droid comes pretty darn close. I've been pleasantly surprised as a user of that device. You know, as soon as I logged in with my Google account, it immediately synced my Google Calendar. That was something that was a huge struggle for me on the iPhone. You know, it's not as strong in some other areas. The Droid isn't, for example, multimedia stuff is not as good. But you know, Google is doing some interesting stuff there. There's an app they have called Google Listen that is great for podcasts. And so it's certainly a very credible rival with the overall Android operating system.
But is there any particular reason where people would be looking at the two side by side and say, well, I'm going with the Droid?
No, especially not when they're looking at them, because the real advantage that Apple has is its industrial design. And what I like to say is that the Droid feels like a cell phone aspiring to be a handheld computer. The iPhone feels more like a very elegant handheld computer that just happens to have, relatively decent phone capabilities, assuming you can get your AT&T connection to work.
Although AT&T claims that all those Verizon claims and all those TV commercials are bogus because they're only talking about voice, and that AT&T leads the way with voice plus data. Is there any truth to that?
Well, you know, it's funny. We're talking on AT&T right now, Paul, and you're cutting out a little bit.
Maybe that's because you're deep in the heart of the convention center there in Las Vegas.
My experience is that, 3G-wise, obviously AT&T's network does not cover as much as Verizon's. But, geographically, I think, if you're living in a major city, they're relatively comparable.
Yeah.
As a longtime Verizon customer, though, I got to tell you, I do experience more drop calls on AT&T than I did previously as a Verizon user.
All right, let's talk about something else that I understand is going to be big at CES this year, and that is 3D TV.
Yes, that's right. So essentially, you've seen this come out in the movie theaters, and the new Avatar movie is a great example of 3D. And TV makers and content providers are coming out this week with a series of announcements to basically bring that experience to the living room. There's actually a series of press events here today involving a lot of consumer electronics giants, LG, and other TV makers. I'm actually waiting in line for one of them right now, so I may have more for you on that later.
Okay. I understand that ESPN's announced that they're going to start a 3D TV channel this year, and Discovery is planning on launching one next year. Do you know whether I'm going to have to get 3D glasses to watch TV in my house?
My understanding is that, well, at least based on the demos I've seen so far, yes, in fact, because you have multiple signals coming at you, so you need something in front of your eyes to then translate those signals into the 3D view. I'm not sure, though, exactly how that's going to work, and actually that's one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing here, is exactly, how they're going to get that experience to come across well in the living room.
My wife is going to kill me. We literally just went HD TV in my house 2 months ago. We got the widescreen in the living room and the whole thing, and we love it. I mean, it's fantastic. We're probably a couple years behind the first adapters there. But if I went to her and said, oh, by the way, we're also going to have to spend a couple thousand more dollars to go 3D and get rid of this thing, she's going to look at me like I'm crazy. Are we talking about a huge chunk of change here for this? I guess technology, when it comes out, is always more expensive, right?
That's the case. And you got to remember, what we're seeing here this week at the Consumer Electronics Show is the consumer electronics and the computer companies trying to push that ball forward. I mean, they make revenue based on you feeling like your brand's making new HDTV is no longer adequate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to take into account your own finances. I mean, you're talking to a guy who's, I basically stripped away my cable coverage over the last year, just tried to refine my own technology into something that I'm actually using. So even though I'm covering a lot of this stuff and I'm experiencing it, you have to be pragmatic about what actually works in your life.
And that's the last thing I want to ask you about. With the economy hopefully starting to rebound a little bit, but people still feeling the drag of the last year to 18 months and unemployment and underemployment in this country still a problem, are the people who are making all this new high-tech glitz aware of that, and are they trying to keep prices down to a reasonable level?
Yes, they are. And actually, you've seen it with Microsoft. Just this past week, yesterday, they came out with the pricing for their new line of Office software that's coming out later this year, Office 2010. And they, in several cases, made efforts to get the prices down. It still costs hundreds of dollars in most cases. But, for example, there's a $99 version that students and teachers will be able to purchase in student bookstores and that sort of thing. So there and in other cases, you're seeing prices sort of level out a little bit, not rise nearly as much as they might have in the past.
You know, you mentioned students. That would be an area where I could see tablet computers making huge inroads. You know, kids go off to college. Textbooks are costing them hundreds of dollars per semester. Wouldn't it be nice if they could download it, make it a lot easier for them to walk around? Even my daughter in high school, who's got a backpack full of these huge, heavy textbooks, if it were all downloadable and easy to access on a nice touch screen, that might be a market that could really kickstart this new industry.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you've been talking to Jeff Bezos. Because it's funny, because that is one of the pitches that Amazon is making with the Kindle. And my colleague at TechFlash, Eric Engelman, has been reporting on the UW actually rolling out a pilot program along with other colleges to try and get students to use the Kindle. He actually followed up with the students a few weeks later and found out that they weren't using the Kindle as much as you would have thought, simply because they appreciated some of those old things, like being able to, you know, turn the page and have that real experience. And also just the Kindle itself, they found in some cases wasn't nearly as easy to use as they had hoped.
Yeah, they've got to figure out some way for you to buy used textbooks online where the previous student has already highlighted all the stuff that you know or
right,
need to know. Well, that would help. And of course, if they have highlighted that stuff, you got to hope that person wasn't an idiot.
Exactly.
That always worked against me when I bought used textbooks. All right, Todd, I know you're about to go into this event, and I appreciate you taking time to talk to us here today.
My pleasure, Paul. Thanks.
Todd Bishop, who writes for TechFlash.com, here on the Dave Ross Show with Paul Harris, live from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.